Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll read verses 17 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Nehemiah chapter 2. That's one of those books, just a couple books before the book of Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And let's pray, Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Thank you for the success that you have allowed us to see here, and the fact that we do need to build new buildings here. Father, you want your work to succeed, and we're doing the best we know how to make that succeed. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power. Help him as he preaches. Help us as we go to the next level. Help him as he leads us there, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
But I call the lesson, Let Us Rise Up and Build. There's a story in the Bible. You were reading it earlier. It's in the book of Nehemiah. 14 years after Ezra returns to the city of Jerusalem, he allows Nehemiah to lead a group of people that are going to help restore the walls around the city. They had deteriorated and been burnt, and something needed to be built. In verse number 18, as you were reading earlier, the Bible says that the hand of God was upon these people. Now, folks, let me explain something to you. We have seen over the last 6 years a perpetual revival here in our church. Time and time and time again, service after service, we see the hand of God upon the work here. That's what's happening here in the time of the rebuilding of the walls around the city. Verse 18 there in Nehemiah chapter 2, they said, Let us rise up and build. The people were unified, and they said, We've got to go forward. We've got to get this done. And they unified their efforts, and that's where we get the title of tonight's sermon, Let Us Rise Up and Build. It comes from the scripture. Another group of people back in history said, God's hand is upon us. As a result of that, we are prospering. We need to go forward. Let us rise up and build. Then, the Bible says in verse 18 that their hands were strengthened for this good work. You see, the work that we do, it's a good work. We preach a good gospel. We are doing the good work of God. And God said their hands need to be strengthened. Now, what did it mean? What was this strengthening? Well, God wanted them to be strong emotionally and spiritually and physically as they did the work of the Lord. Now, something happened. In verse number 19, there were a couple of fellows, a guy by the name of Sanballat, another by the name of Tobiah. When the announcement was made that they were going to rebuild these walls, Sanballat and Tobiah laughed at them, tried to scorn them. Later on, you even find out, Sanballat and Tobiah opposed them and tried to hurt the work. We don't have any problem like that. I don't foresee any problem like that. But that's what happened in this story. These men just laughed and laughed them to to scorn and kind of mock the people that were helping with it. But the Bible says in verse number 20, they said, the God of heaven will prosper us. Now that's who we need to prosper us, the God of heaven. So, they got together, they said, let's rise up and build, God's hand is upon us. There was a touch of opposition, but you can expect a touch of opposition anytime you're doing something for God. If there's not opposition in your life, I'd get busy and do something for God. Opposition is a good sign, I promise you that. Well, the opposition came, but the Bible says the God of heaven is going to prosper us. Oh, they faced a little opposition here and there, but I get excited. When I get to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 15, this is what it says. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month. And I am excited because the Bible says here they got started, they did their work, they didn't let the little bumps in the road stop them from doing the work, and the Bible says the project was finished. And that's just good character. That's what Christians do. They start something and they finish something. So you know, God has started a work in you. He'd like to finish that work. He wants you to be faithful all the way to the end. Don't be a casualty. Don't drop off. Don't quit on God. Just keep on going. Now, we are soon approaching a time when we are going to need to do some work on our new Sunday school building. Now, I prefer what they call a turnkey contract. Now, what that really means is you hire someone to do it, they do all the work, and one day they turn over a key to you and it's all finished. The only problem is our building's big, it takes a lot of money, we just can't quite afford to hire it all done, and so the wise thing for us to do is to step up and for us to do some work on our own. Now, I want to guide us through this event. And I there are churches that get into building programs and things. They start having problems and struggles and splits. Well, I dead sure don't want anything like that around here. We have had such a wonderful, wonderful revival and unity, and that we've been together in spirit. But, you know, when you visit with each other for a little while on Sunday morning, and you visit with each other for a little while on Sunday night, and you come back together for a little while on Wednesday, it's not so hard to get along with each other. But you spend about 6 hours swinging a hammer right beside somebody, and suddenly you're getting to spend extra time. And are you okay? Is that Brother Kistler? God bless you, Brother Kistler. I hope he didn't get any on you there. You get to spending time. When you work up close to people, suddenly it can get a little tense here and there. Well, I think sometimes the best way to fix a problem is before it happens. I preach a lot of sermons that are preventive maintenance sermons. Now, a lot of people are trying to bail water out of a sinking ship. I don't want that. I don't want to get the water in the ship because I don't want her to sink. We got too good of a thing going on around here. So I want to warn us and guide us and give us some instructions about how to handle some of the work that we'll do on the new building that we're working on. Hey, and this is important. You know something? Every time a church has a turmoil inside a church and they get to fussing about this or fussing about that, it hurts the Christians. But let me tell you who it really hurts. It hurts the lost people that are watching a church. Don't you think the lost world gets tired of seeing Christians that are supposed to love each other not get along? Well, I don't want that. I think as the community looks at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, they see a unified team, a group of people. We're not perfect, not at all, but a group of people that want to go forward for the Lord. Now, I've had some experience around some building programs when I was a young man, young preacher boy. I went to a church in central Indiana, and that church started out in a two-car garage. Oh, my. You wouldn't believe the spirit in that little church. I mean, it was just a two-car garage, and we'd throw out some steel chairs that everybody would sit on. They'd even fold the chairs up for a while during the week, and the pastor would park his car in the garage. As things got a little further along, it got built into a bit of a, what you might call a permanent auditorium, though the church grew. It had a wonderful, wonderful spirit. The church grew to the point where we needed to build a building. We bought 4 acres, and what had happened is a tornado had hit in our area. It destroyed a public school. The public school system had bought some temporary mobile classroom units to have school in, and when they got their new building done, they made available those temporary mobile units to where they could be purchased. And our church went out, and we bid on them, and we bought three of those things. You could put them on a foundation, and boy, were we excited. Now, we did all the work ourselves, and nobody had ever done much of what we were doing, and the men did all the work, and we finally got it all finished and moved in. But here's one problem. The spirit of the church had changed just because of the building program. But I'll tell you why. There were some fusses. People didn't get along. They had their disagreements. Everybody wanted to tell everybody else how to do it. Everybody wanted to be a chief, and nobody wanted to be an Indian. And so they moved into that new building, and the church was never the same. Now, we have no threat of that. I'm not worried about that, but I've seen it happen. When I was at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, I was there for almost 18 years, and I think it is safe to say that we built a building every year for 18 years in a row, because I think there was 40 to 50 buildings built in the last 50 years. And so I've been around building programs. I've observed. I've learned some things about how to do it and how not to do it. And I want to talk to you about it for a little while this evening. You see, I believe the Lord wants us to do everything that we do in the church decently and in order. I think things ought to be organized. I think things ought to be thought through. I think things ought to be planned. And I think, you know, that just works a lot of the frustration out of things. It just does. People that run off the seat of the britches all the time usually get offensive and hurt people. And I don't like that. I don't want that for us. See, I believe our church is special. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want to risk anything. And so, let me remind you of something about that building over there. And if someday God allows us to have maybe a new auditorium, let me remind you something. These buildings are all about people. We're just trying to house people. We're not trying to build a building to keep up with some other fancy religious organization. Not at all. We're housing people. Our buildings, this is what you might call a spiritual factory. We're trying to be productive for God and teach the Word of God. And hey, this isn't all about our property values. That's not what. This is all about the value of people and the lives of people and families and little boys and girls and moms and dads. And that's what it's all about. That's what this is really all about. So don't get all caught up in the value of this or the value of that. Let me tell you, the value of a soul is what it's really all about. It's worth what we're doing. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some points, and I'm going to say some things to you about when we finally physically start working on the building that we are in the process of building. First of all, I have to say this. There has to be someone that leads the project. You have to have someone to lead. Now, I have designated Brother Rick Young as our general contractor, and he'll be overseeing things. Brother Young is a very capable man. Brother Young is a good man. He's a decent man. He's a hard-working man. He's not perfect. Mrs. Young could tell you about that after the service if you would like. You could meet with her. But he's a good man. Now, listen, as we go to work, you're going to have to let him lead. You just have to let him lead. Show respect. Let him make decisions and help him. Serve him. Don't make the people work harder than the construction work. He shouldn't be over there sweating and toiling over men that won't follow and don't get along. If we're going to sweat and toil, let's make it because we're swinging hammers and making saws move. But there has to be a leader, and Brother Young is going to help us with this project. And he has been the one that has been helping with the project ever since we started. He does a lot of communicating with the contractors. He's built relationships with them, and thank God for that. And so you just follow. Number two, we've got to keep up our other church duties. We need to keep running our bus routes. I would rather you not take off Saturday from your bus route to work on the building. You see, the people work is what's most important to me. Make sure you keep your Sunday school class up. And then we need you at men's prayer meeting. And we need to keep on going soul winning. Remember this. See, it is our success in reaching people, and it is our success in our regular duties that has created the need for the new building. Now, if we stop doing the things that created the need for the building's purpose is soiled. You understand what I'm saying? I know churches almost shut down all their soul winning ministries and everything to build a building. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were reaching people, and that's what that building was all about. So you say, well, I couldn't give as much time that way. That's fine with me. You winning souls is more important than you carrying a two before into that building. But we're going to need your help. I'm not minimizing the importance of the help. I said this. Number one, there's got to be a leader. Number two, we've got to keep up our regular church duties. Number three, I need you to keep up your personal walk with God. You know, if you will keep your walk with God, this will do more than anything else to make sure our attitudes as we work together are right attitudes. When people get backslidden, their attitudes are not as good. When we're not doing what we ought to do in regard to our relationship with God, you're harder to get along with. You're not as patient. You're not as gentle. You're not as kind. You're not as wise. Your insight is not as strong. Listen, everybody here, we're to walk with God. We're not just to glance at everybody else and glance over God's way every once in a while. We're to have a relationship with our Maker. And that's what it's all about. And for you to work on God's building, but not to spend time with God, would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy. You're doing the work of the Levites. You're building the house of God. Now, don't build the house of God, but not have a relationship with the God of the house. So, I want you to read your Bibles. Stay in your Bible. Keep your prayer life up. Keep winning others to Jesus Christ. See, a walk with God will lessen those tempers. It will help with impatience and negative talk and negative attitudes. And so, let's keep our walk with God up. Let me say this again. If you're working on that building is going to cause you to stop praying and reading your Bible, then don't work on the building. Because your relationship with God is more important than you doing a physical work out there on that building. Number four, don't let the building supplies and things of that nature take the place of your tithe and offering. Now, I want you to understand something. When we ask you to volunteer your help, let me see if I can clarify that for you. That means you won't be paid. That's what volunteer means. Did you know that the tithe is not at your discretion to spend the way that you want anyway? The faith promise, you've made a faith promise. Here's what we've got to do. If you say, well, we need a bag of nails, then you go to the leader and let him know that we need a bag of nails. You say, well, I'll buy it, but if you do buy it, we don't want you to take that bag of nails out of your tithe. If you donate a roll of wire or a two before, it's got to be an offering. The word donate is a lot like the word volunteer. They have unique description and definition. Now, don't do this to us. Don't keep track of your hours and then multiply it times your regular hourly wage and then not tithe for 2 months because you gave of your time over here. That's really not scriptural. You say, would people do that? You betcha, buddy. I'm saying what I'm saying because I know what I'm saying, all right? And so, I said this. Number one, there has to be a leader. Number two, keep our other church duties up. Number three, keep your personal walk with God up. Number four, don't let the building supplies and other things that you donate take the place of your tithe or your offering. Number five, people will make mistakes. And I want you to go ahead and accept that right now. Somebody's going to build a wall one night in a place where we didn't want a wall built. So what are we going to do? Well, when we discover it, we're going to beat the snot out of them. That's what we're going to do. No, you know what we'll do? We'll take the wall down and put it where it's supposed to go. With gentleness and understanding. Brother Young's going to make some mistakes. You can be guaranteed. With as much pressure and as much responsibility as he'll have, he'll make some mistakes. I'm going to make some mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But let's not be negative. Let's be supportive. I don't know of any person in this church that would go over there and do work and do it wrong on purpose. Every single person will be sincere. Every single person will have the intent of doing good and doing right. All right? Number six, Let's not waste the Lord's money. We've got to be thrifty. Let me explain something. This is not a major construction firm. We don't have a whole bunch of stuff to throw away. And we know if we spill a bag of something and we just don't want to take the time to pick it up because we're making $27 an hour, union labor, so we just sweep it up and throw it away. We can't do that here. We got to pick up every one of those nails. We're going to have to use every one of them. We're going to have to be careful. We've got to be thrifty. We need to limit our mistakes. Now, we're going to make them, but let's limit our mistakes. Think before you act. So just don't forget. Let's not waste the Lord's money. Number 7. Remember this. I'll say it again. I've got it in my outline twice. Your work is a donation to the Lord. Let all the work that you do be an offering to the Lord, not a tithe. Don't come back 3 years later and say, well, I kept track of that and you owe me. No, we're under no contract with you. You just come, you do the work, you say, I can't afford to do that. That's okay then, you won't have to work. We're not upset about that. We're not trying to make you do it. Let's go on. Number 8, use your tools and your equipment at your own risk. Okay? Now listen, if your granddad gave you that hammer and it's got an oak handle on it and you loan it to a 16-year-old boy, you do understand what could happen. And that's the one that meant the world to you. You inherited that. Well, please use some good sense about things like that. If you loan a tool, realize you may be loaning it to someone at your own risk. I'd be keeping track of your tools. Men and you ladies, you're thinking, what's the big deal about tools? Well, you just don't understand. You don't understand. When we get to heaven, all men will have a golden tool room. And it's just going to happen. I know you ladies, you say, he's got tools he's never used. But you don't know when you're going to need those. You just don't know. Listen, men, if you borrow a tool from another man, get it back to him. Return it to him like you'd want yours returned to you. And don't do this. You're all very happy to loan somebody else's tools. I'd recommend that you not be loaning everybody else's tools. Here, take this one. It don't have my initials on it. Treat all the tools as if they're your own. But let me explain. If you bring your hammer and you break it, I don't think we're going to be able to replace everything that you break. So as you bring your tools, realize it'll be at your own risk. Number 9, let someone correct you. Let someone correct you. Man, that's why you got married. You should have practice at this. But do, indeed, be teachable. When we're over there, be teachable, be moldable, be easy to lead. Let me tell you something. If you know something that Rick Young does not know, I'm going to promise you, he'd be glad to let you teach him. But you got to be teachable. We've got to be moldable. We've got to be good Christians about it. And if somebody says, hey, we're not going to handle it that way, why don't you just be submissive like you would be to God and say, okay. That's fine. Did you know that if Rick or somebody else that was leading something told you to do something wrong, it's their fault for telling you the wrong way? But let's be teachable, and let's let somebody correct us if they need to. Let me ask you to do this for me. Control your temper. Control your temper. Now, if you don't have a temper, man, you need to get one. Every man ought to have a temper. It'll come in handy, but you're to control it. We don't need you to throw fits. We don't need any of the, well, I'm taking my tools and going home, like the boys do with their baseball on the baseball field. Could I recommend something? Maybe you should sing as you work. Not Brother Heidenreich or Brother Innocent. I don't think they should sing. We're looking for unity and positive and goodness out of this thing. But, or you could sing as you work. You could, hey, let me tell you something. What a privilege and an honor to work around the church while you're over there and whatever it is you're doing. Why don't you pray for the church and pray for the services and look around that building and look at the other men and pray for them and pray for their families. Hey, while you're there on your knees and you're driving nails into the floor, on your knees, pray for the boys and girls that will meet Jesus Christ as their Savior over there in that building. Oh, what an opportunity, but we've got to control ourselves. Next. Let's practice some teamwork. Yes. Here's the best thing to do. everybody serve each other. Just everybody serve each other. Learn to clean up after yourself. Be sure you look at your work area before you leave it to make sure the people following you can follow you with ease. Pitch in and help out when help is needed. Let's be a team. Be a team player. Work for the team. Let's help one another. Number 12. I think some church-approved music would be good over there. Now, I can't let you bring your Waylon Jennings and all that, but is he still alive, Brother Bajan? You don't know? But any of those CDs that we have made available here at the church, they could be played over there, and it would make the atmosphere good, and I would be for that. Number 13, if you're easily offended, either fix it or just stay home. Did you know that your relationship with God's people is more important to me than that building? It really is. It really is. Some people are so, so easily offended. And what I want you to do is I want you to work on that, and I want you to fix it. But boy, if you're going to go over there and get mad and quit our church because something didn't go your way, I'd rather you not help and just stay in a church. And if you're a know-it-all, you might want to stay home too. Stay home with the easily offended. You guys go have coffee and kill each other, will you? Next, let me give you another piece of advice. You're going to have to be flexible. Be flexible. Things change. And we have to accept it with a good attitude. And let me tell you what, those of you that have leadership, when things change and that flexible attitude is needed, lead. Lead in being flexible. The other guys are standing around, you got to be the first one to say, all right, okay, we got to fix that, we got to change it, let's go, fellas, let's make it happen. That's all. That's all it takes. You say, but that was a stupid decision. Well, you've never made any stupid decisions before, have you? All right, so let's be flexible. Next, I want you to be careful. We need you healthy. Some of you men, with the kind of hours you work, after you've worked 12, 14 hours in a day, it might not be wise for you to be going over there climbing up on the ladder. We do not need you to drill a hole through your hand. And so, I'm very serious. Some of you need to get your rest. And you need to make sure that while you're over there working, that you're careful. We don't need you hurt. We don't need some claim on our insurance because you fell and busted your head open because you weren't paying attention. Now, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm just sure of it. Somebody will be hurt in some way. But it won't be on purpose, and I know that. But let's be careful. Don't hurt yourself or anybody else. So here's what I think I'm saying. Let's not take any unhealthy chances. You know, you just think, well, don't worry, I can do that, and I won't do it with the right equipment, and I won't do it using good common sense. I'd rather you not do it that way. Let's just use some good common sense, all right? Next, don't be offended if you don't get to do all that you want. Now, here's what we're going to do. We'll do our best to get you involved, but please understand and be patient. You may show up one day and there might not be a job for you to do, or there might not be something in your specialty area, or whatever the case. But the plan was not, we didn't sit down, and we're not going to draw up a list of all the men in the church that we hate, and we put them on the blacklist, and we're trying to keep them from getting involved. Just so you know, there's no list like that. We're not trying to leave you out. We're not trying to hurt your feelings. We're not trying to make you feel unwanted or unneeded. But you may show up, or you may not get a call, but it's not because we're upset with you. We're going to do the best that we can to keep everybody involved and get everybody apart. Next, you got to be dependable. Let's be dependable. Here's the tough thing about volunteer work. Often, volunteers don't exercise character like they should. I'll tell you the challenge of leading a church. Do you have any idea how many volunteer leaders I have in the church? Lots of them. Do you know I pay all my bills with volunteer money? You go try to talk a bank into lending you the kind of money we have to borrow off of volunteer money. Now, I can't charge you for coming to church here. You know that, right? I wish I could. You volunteer that money. And when you're a volunteer worker or leader, see, what really is on the line here is your character. Your character ought to mean something to you. So be dependable. If you said you're going to show up, show up. And if for some reason you can't, let somebody know. So we're not waiting on you. If you promise something, if you can't make a deadline, let somebody know. We're not going to be mad at you. But we've got to work together in our character and our commitment. Remember, the team is depending on you. One of the things I love about athletics is every person ought to learn to work as a team. Somebody needs to learn to block so somebody else can run through a hole. Everybody needs to learn to make a pass at a strategic moment so somebody else can score a basket. Everybody needs to learn teamwork. Sports are not important to me because of sports. That's where some people get mixed up. Sports is a god to them. It's not to me. It's a trainer to me. Sports is an excellent way to train people on how to live and how to function and how to work together as a team. So when you come to work as a part of the team. Number next. I believe this. I don't want us to bring our children over to the work site. There's an insurance liability there. Now you say, but I want my kids to learn how to do some things. Well, this isn't the time or place for it. Teach them at home. The teenage boys who have their parents' permission will let you help us, but the younger children and the grade school children, I do not think that is wise, and I just want to do it for our protection. I think that is best. Let me go on. There are other instructions that are forthcoming. We'll let you know more as this thing progresses. Now, most of what will be done over there, a large portion of it will be done by our men. But ladies, you say, what in the world can we do? Well, first of all, I want you to pray for us. I want you to pray for safety. I want you to pray that we can meet those deadlines and get things done. I would say at the most we're looking at, it could take as much as 4 months to get it finished. We have some other people helping us. It may happen quicker. But if you'd pray and things fall into place just right, and so you know, I'm making no time promises on anything. We started this thing a long time ago, and I will not stand up here and tell you it will be done in 2008 or 2009. We will get it done. But I think it could take as much as four and a half months, but it may go quicker. But ladies, you could pray. You could pray. Ladies, you could be prepared when the moment comes, when we start doing cleanup, and if there's little painting jobs and things like that, we'll get you over there and we'll get you involved. Ladies, I could recommend to you possibly that you make us a lot of chocolate chip cookies and things like that. Fried chicken, sweet tea. You know, the sort of things that motivate a man to go forward, to get something done. You could help us with that. Oh, ladies and men, I want you to be careful of something. I don't want one marriage destroyed over the next few months because you're gone so much that you're not spending time with your wife and with your kids. It is not worth it to me. That building is not worth that to me. But ladies, do indeed. When your husband helps, be thankful that he does. If he gets to give us some time, I hope that you'll be grateful for it. Listen. You say, well, he's down there at the church all the time. Well, there are worse places for husbands to be. You ought to thank God he's just not in some tavern somewhere. He's some whorehouse somewhere. You ought to just thank God if your husband wants to serve God, you ought to be pleased with that. Ladies, help us by being positive. And I'll tell you this, men, I'm helping you now. You're big, tough, strong man that comes down to the church to help and serve and sweat and toil. Just spoil him real good. Just spoil him when he comes home and rub his feet, make him his favorite meals. God, just have yourself all dolled up when he comes home and tell him how big and strong and powerful he is and smooch on him and all that kind of good stuff. That'll help us, won't it, man? I'm ready to start the building tonight. Now, in the day of Nehemiah, they built something, and they finished it. And I think the work went well. Oh, there may be a little opposition here or there, and I don't expect any opposition from people, but there's opposition that comes. But I just want us to do what we do. I don't want to risk the spirit. I don't want to lose a revival over a building. And see, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. You know something? We try to be careful. You take the amount of money we spend. I don't want to spend so much money that we've got to start lowering our standards and lowering what we believe to try to keep people in our church by catering to them because we need their money. We're not working that way. We're not working that way. But I want you to know we're going to need your help, and it is time for us to physically rise up and build. It's coming. In days and weeks to come, we'll start doing some work, and we'll be calling on some of you to help us. We'll let you know when. That's the sermon for tonight, but let me say this. If somehow you're a guest, and this is maybe your first time in our church, or maybe you've been here before, but you're a visitor. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I say this to you. These buildings, that new building, these grounds, this church, it's really all about you. If you're a guest here tonight, we care about people. We're not in a competition for gaining property and territory and things like that. What we do in these buildings and with this property, it's all about helping people. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd be thrilled to death that you'd get saved. And I'll tell you this also. If it came down to us choosing between that big new building over there and you getting saved, we'd cancel that building just like that. If it meant you'd get saved. Now, we don't have to do that. But you are important to us. The reason for the new buildings and the facilities is all about people. Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what it's all about. Amen, Brother Paul? That's why we do what we do. That's why we are doing what we do, to keep people out of hell and to help people. So if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, why don't you get saved tonight? It'd just make it a little extra special, and you get involved. Help us with that building. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.